In today's reading from the prophet Jeremiah, God speaks of a new covenant. That new covenant will transform humanity's relationship with God. And God says that we will be forgiven and that our sin will be remembered no more. And I find this fascinating, the way that Jeremiah describes this. Because forgiveness is not the same as not remembering. And not remembering is not the same as forgetting. Think about the word remembering for a second. Remembering. If you are dismembered, this means that you have lost a limb or two. But rarely do we think of remembering as something physical or embodied. How many of you have had experiences where you have done something you wish you hadn't, and you keep replaying it over and over and over again in your head? You're reconstructing it, hoping that there's a better answer, hoping maybe that you weren't the one actually in the wrong. But as you reconstruct this over and over again, the event itself begins to take on a life of its own. It is embodied, and it has a new kind of hold on you. And this is remembering, embodying again something that now walks with you into the future. We remember ourselves with positive things as well. The memory of a wedding, it recreates us, re-embodies us in this world through our new and beloved relationships. We remember the baptisms of our children or of our church's children, re-embodying us as caregivers for the children of God. We remember moments of kindness, of friendship, and love. And these memories recreate us each day so that we become ourselves through our memory. And others recreate us based on their memories of us. Sometimes we begin to lose our memory, and those around us feel uncreated. Who am I in this relationship if you cannot remember us? And sometimes we work to create positive memories for ourselves, to tell a new story, or to reconstruct a memory to focus on different things, or reconstruct something that is a more beautiful and more lively future for ourselves. Some therapists might recognize some of this in the practice of cognitive behavioral therapy, where therapists help individuals interrupt patterns of destructive thoughts and behaviors by confronting them and helping individuals to practice new, positive ones. Some others might recognize parts of this in the healing power of storytelling. By telling stories, an author or a storyteller remembers and reconstructs their own reality, laying claim to it. They are participating in an act of remembering, recreating a story as their own, re-embodying themselves as one with agency. And this can happen by telling true stories, and this can happen by telling fictional ones. The act of creating a story has power in the society with which it is created. And if any of you have talked with me in the past week, you know that I have seen the movie Black Panther twice, in fact, thank you to the J2A class. And one might actually even argue that that is what Black Panther is doing. A superhero movie is taking place in a black utopia with all black characters and with a strong, powerful women as central figures to the movement of the story. With all the negative narratives of blackness throughout American society and the wider world, this fictional story interrupts those narratives and reconstructs them with a new story. A story of a hero who does not become his enemy in order to defeat him. A story of an African nation untouched by slavery, colonization, the Cold War, and famine. More advanced and sophisticated than any other nation on earth. Black Panther and this kind of storytelling interrupts a process of remembering ourselves and others with the sins that we enact upon each other. And I think that when we do so, we are participating in God's healing work. God's promise to us is that we are beloved. And when we tell our story from that perspective, remembering and reclaiming that instead, we participate in the work of God to bring all people into wholeness. And the promise here in the Jeremiah reading is that God has the final word on who we are. And that final word is not sin or iniquity, but beloved, known, and held. Each time evil threatens to define us, God defines us in another way, through love. And our sin is remembered no more. Next week is Palm Sunday, the first in a series of observances that we call Holy Week. And Holy Week is comprised of rites that remember the final days of Jesus. In Holy Week, we remember how Jesus died, not in order to feel bad or guilty about what happened to him, but to practice an interruption of sin, an interruption of our own memory of our own brokenness. And this is core to who we are as Christians. And practicing this story through ritual is a way of practicing a memory, to write it on our hearts, to be recreated in God's love rather than our own failures. As we walk together through the final week of Jesus' life, we practice an emotional roller coaster of the stories that define us. From Palm Sunday and Hosanna to Maundy Thursday and the Last Supper to Good Friday when we mourn, we recreate ourselves in the grief and the pain of the cross so that on Easter Sunday we can interrupt it. We can shout with joy and gratitude and relief that God cannot be beaten. God interrupts all of it with new life. And so we practice Holy Week not to practice death, but to practice resurrection. Not in order to feel sorry for ourselves, but to practice the inbreaking of God's new story. To open our hearts up to death in order for God to place resurrection within. And we practice so that this story remembers us. And I do not suggest that it will be easy. Resurrection requires death. And Jesus says that as much in the gospel today. He says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And I wonder if Jesus sees himself as this seed in our story today. The disciples are clinging to him as a teacher, as a leader with certain expected norms for teachers and leaders. But until they let him go, the promise that he truly came to fulfill cannot be realized. As a teacher and leader, he can only be one seed, one piece of grain. But crucified, died, and risen again, he is instead a whole plant, producing new grains that produce food and new plants alike. The teacher is but one grain, but the risen Lord is a whole field of new grain. And so I ask you, what are the seeds in your life? Is there something that you cling to, a memory of transgression or pain or brokenness? Does that thing define you? What would happen to you if you let it go and fall to the ground to die? What new thing could grow? if you let go of it and let God germinate whatever is inside. Each part of our lives, each aspect of our stories can be seeds ready to germinate. And we can cling to them as grains that would feed us just a little bit. Or we can let them fall into the rich earth, where it will die in order to grow into a seedling, and then a stalk, and then heads of golden grain. And practicing Holy Week is like practicing letting go of that seed, practicing its death, practicing its rebirth as a new whole plant. And we remember so that it recreates us as new. And so as you go about your work this week, I invite you to prepare yourselves for this walk towards resurrection. I invite you to ask yourself, what grain do you need to let go of to make room for the whole plant to grow? Amen.